This episode of WDW Today is being sponsored by touringplans.com. And boy, I hate waiting in lines, but I do love riding my favorite attractions at Walt Disney World. But the solution to all my problems, of course, touringplans.com. That's right. That way I can avoid those long lines, see all my favorite rides, shows, acts, exhibits, whatever is on my agenda. I can see it all and do it all without waiting for it all. And we've got a special discount code just for WDW Today listeners. That's right. If you use discount code ZUZU2014, ZUZU2014, you'll save 21% off a touringplans.com subscription. Just a few dollars for a lot less waiting. Check them out right now at touringplans.com.
Bringing the world to your world, this is Walt Disney World Today. Here are Mike Scopa, Len Testa, Mike Newell, and your host, Matt Hochberg.
It's Monday, October 13th, 2014, and this is episode 1408 of WDW Today. I'm Matt Hochberg of StudioCentral.com and RoyalCaribbeanBlog.com. Joining me on today's show is Mike Scopa, a blogger for TouringPlans.com, and he's also the co-host of the Mickey Miles podcast. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Hi-ho.
Seven Dwarfs.
Mine train. Train.
No.
Muppet Vision.
Yes.
Yes!
Wow.
Yes! You didn't see that coming. Wow. Yes. Ha!
All right, settle down. You're cut off.
Yeah. Phil, that's minus one for unsportsmanlike conduct.
There's a flag. The flag's still up in the air. Yeah.
Golf, I believe.
Also joining us on today's show, Mike Newell of Mouse World Radio. And Mike, it's starting to get lows overnight. It's starting to get into the 40s again.
Oh, awesome. When you live upstate, you feel it.
That's our high for the day. Are you kidding me?
Also joining us on today's show, the fabulous Annette Owens, a manager at MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. And Annette, let me be the first on this podcast to wish you...
Too late. You didn't listen to Wednesday's show.
Oh! We did?
Too late.
Ah, well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Also joining us on today's show, Len Testa, co-author of The Unofficial Guide to Walt Disney World, and he's also he's actually the host of the Disney Dish with Jim Hill podcast. Welcome to the show, Len.
Thanks, Matt. Hey, we have a thing with Jim Hill coming up in New York on the 26th. That should be a hoot.
Yes, coming up in just a couple weeks.
It should be fun. ETC, if I can plug it, etccustomevents.com. But anyway, the reason why I wanted to go last today is so I could contribute my six or seven words to tonight's podcast. So, Scopa, how was your trip?
Oh, that's cheating.
And go.
Just sit right back in your hair.
Good night, y'all.
A tale of a fateful trip that started from this. Are we starting? No, we're not starting.
Yeah, we're... So on today's show...
Wait, didn't you introduce... Did you forget someone?
No.
You introduced everybody? Okay.
Yep. Oh, yeah. No,
all right.
We're ready to go here.
Matt Hochberg, take two.
Where Mike is back from his Walt Disney World trip, Scopa that is, and he's got a lot to talk about. And we've all got a little preview about it on the text messages, to say the least.
Mm-hmm. Well... let me preface everything by saying this was a trip for the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror 10-miler race weekend. It was the third time it was held, although I've run this race four times, once with Len. We did the 13K. It's now a 10-miler. And there were a lot of things that happened, and there were a lot of things that I was texting everybody on the way from Thursday to Monday, and we thought that it would be a good idea to talk about some of this stuff. And I want to preface my remarks by saying, please don't send me any emails saying I'm being negative. I'm trying to be informative here, and I'm trying to be honest. So everything I say is as objective as I can be, but I want everyone to be aware of certain things. First of all, if those who haven't been to Disney World in a while, they need to know that it's $17 a day to park now in the parking. In the parking lots, unless, of course, you are an annual pass holder or you're staying on the property. So Thursday, we get there, and we check in, and Annette, as always, had does a fabulous job and got a very nice room. And
I've told you, though, just to put a little spot in there, be specific in your room request when you're given the call center or your agent what you want. It helps.
And we won't tell anyone what
no,
the
don't.
Number of my rack. No, we won't.
Yeah.
So had to check in, and I refused my Magic Bands because I have my own personal red annual pass Magic Band that I wanted to have everything on there. So it just so happened that my Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party tickets were on that band. My room key was now on that band. I put my credit card on that band, and eventually I was going to put my annual pass on that band. So that was going to be the real, real big test. I was told by, I don't know, someone there that I had 15 Magic Bands out there, but I don't know where they all are because I destroyed all of them. But anyways, the test was to see if that Magic Band could be used for everything. So did that. We went to, Michelle and I went to Epcot. And wouldn't you know it, I went, used my Magic Band, got in. She tried to use hers, and she couldn't. And we know the reason. She has a Premier Pass. Right, Len?
Yeah, really, geez.
So I don't know what it is, but everyone who I know who has one, they have problems with that.
And just wait till she goes to Disneyland.
Yeah, forget it. Yeah. She'll have to get the individual one-day passes to get into the park.
Can't she just use the card? She's got
No, actually, it doesn't work. You have to get individual every day that you go in. You have to get a paper 1 day park hopper pass. They'll give it to you, but it takes a manager just to come over and do it. And
wow,
it's a huge pain.
Kind of defeats the whole purpose. Okay. So anyways, we went to guest services in Epcot, and we were there for 50 minutes trying to figure it out.
Wow.
While we were there, I was texting a dear friend of ours who is always a proponent of the Magic Band and Fast Pass Plus. And as we're texting, you know, back and forth, I'm getting a little irritated with how long it's taken. After the dust had settled, we walked out of there with, I don't know, about 5 Fast Passes: Soarin', Test Track, Peter Pan, Big Thunder Mountain, Seven Dwarfs Mine, actually 6. Seven Dwarfs Mine Ride and Haunted Mansion. Those in the Magic Kingdom were for the Friday. Also walked out of there with a coupon that gave us 2 Mickey bars or whatever. So anyways, that was how it started off on Thursday. We had opportunity to do Food and Wine before the race on Thursday and Friday, and I might say that it was unbelievable as far as the crowds were. There was nobody there. Nobody there on Thursday, nobody there on Friday. So if anybody's going down on a Thursday or a Friday, I think you're going to be okay. As long as you get out of there by 6 o'clock, you'll be fine. As far as the offerings were, I thought they were very good. One thing to note is that the beer is now about 4-ounce glasses.
They were teeny.
Yeah, 6 ounces. Yeah, 6 ounces. Yeah,
they were $3.50. So that was something quite notable. The big hit for me and Michelle was the beer in Scotland. I forget what it was called, but it was very, very, very good. We had several of those over the course of the weekend. That was good. Other things we tried: the blackened chicken breast at the Terra booth. Didn't try anything at the Patagonia booth. That the craft beer, there's a, where the Odyssey is, they had a craft beer display there, and it was they were offering 8 different beers in 2 flights. I really was not impressed with any of them, but we tried it anyways, being the good person that I am. At Mexico, the shrimp taco we tried. At China, I know I tried the Mongolian beef. Sort of the things that I've seen in the past that have been really good. Did have some grapefruit beer. And let's see, where else did we eat? At the Hops and Barley in the American Adventure Pavilion, we had the artisan cheese plate. That was pretty good. In Japan, I must have had about 3 or 4 spicy hand rolls. I just love them every year. And in France, we had the slush vodka Grey Goose. That was good.
That was good,
Len. It went down kind of fast because it was it was a very hot day. It probably went down too fast, but I think it was well worth it. We had, as always, in Ireland, this is, and I have a story to tell everyone. In Ireland, we went with the cheese selection, which is you know, they've got the cheddar cheese, the Dubliner with the Irish. They get all kinds of. I'm not sure exactly what cheese is there, but what was interesting is that on Sunday or Monday, I think it was Sunday, we went there and we got up to the register and we wanted that, and they said no, we're all out. So we went with something else, lobster pie. We get around the corner to hand a slip, and wouldn't you know it, they get all the cheese stuff. So we said, hey, that's what we really wanted. Oh, okay. So they gave us that, and they said, go back and they'll fix your slip so that you'll get, you know, you won't have to pay $6 or whatever it was for the lobster pie. Instead, you're paying whatever it was for the cheese. We went back there, and instead of adjusting it, they just refunded everything. So that was pretty much free.
Wow, that's nice.
Yeah, so that was kind of interesting. In Greece, the griddled Greek cheese with pistachios and honey.
Yeah.
Jared Diamond opened my eyes to that. That is very, very, very good.
Greek griddle cheese is amazing. It's got it's a little bit sour, but it's creamy too. Yeah, it's great.
Very good.
And so the honey probably cuts the sourness.
Yeah, I mean, it's just really good combination. So basically, those and a few other things we tried. I thought that the food and wine kiosks were good this year. I thought the prices were okay. I probably spent more than I would normally spend because I was using my Magic Band. Every time I wanted to try something, boop, Magic Band, and you know, hit the code. So I want to say right off the bat that I had no problems with my Magic Band. It worked getting in the door. The annual pass part of it worked. The Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party worked, and the credit card stuff worked. So everything worked well with that. So I wanted to report on that. Let's see. On Thursday night, we held a dessert party for the Mickey Miles podcast, and Annette and Becky got a great patio location. That's probably the best patio location I've ever seen for a dessert party. If you can think of it, and Matt, you'd appreciate this. This was like straight head on watching Fantasmic. We were like right in the middle. It was awesome.
Nice.
So everybody.
It was on a small patio. We've done some before where we had both sides, but it was the smaller side all the way away from the building. And it really was. There was not a lot of things in front of you, like on the larger patio side.
It was so good that everybody could stand up and along the rail and watch the show, and there was plenty of room. So that was very, very good. Thanks again, Annette. That was great. That was really good.
No, that was great. I was glad I got to be there.
So Friday morning, back to Epcot. We were going to do Epcot in the morning until maybe around 4 o'clock, and then we were going to do the Mickey's Not So Scary. So we went back there, and I believe it was on Friday morning or Friday afternoon that I caught a glimpse of the off-kilter replacements. And I don't know how to describe it. I caught only the last maybe 5 minutes, but there were 4 or 5 rather large gentlemen on that stage. They were all wearing... I mean, you could not mistake them for being Canadian lumberjacks because of what they were wearing and how much they weighed.
Reeboks and 300 pounds?
Unbelievable. And chainsaws, you know. Husqvarna chainsaws or whatever. And they were sawing logs. And it looked like it was just a competition for that. And there was an MC, and I'm thinking, what? I mean, Michelle and I looked at each other, and we thought, I honestly thought that the Lumberjack show was going to be a combination comedy and music. Nothing. Maybe I don't know.
I'm frankly amazed, because I've watched the first show. I'm frankly amazed they have not done a joke about a boot, the word, like how Canadians pronounce the word about as a boot, like Canadian. Because Lumberjacks wear boots, right?
Yeah.
Anyway,
I don't know. And it was there was a decent crowd there, and they actually applauded afterwards. But I'm thinking, oh, these aren't the locals. These aren't the off kilter fans. So I just was surprised at it. So I was just stunned. So we went from there to the Magic Kingdom, and I got to ride the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. The Seven Dwarfs Mine Train ride did not ring my bell, as the phone is. I don't know. Annette, you've ridden it, right? Has everybody ridden it?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, I have Mike, not. No, I have not.
Okay, so I can tell you that it's very snug. Number one, It's very short. It's very tight. The turns are very tight. But one thing I noticed, I don't recall any swinging taking place in that ride. I mean,
it's so smooth you don't even notice it.
Yeah,
I noticed it in the car in front of me, but I didn't notice I was.
If you're specifically looking for it, but if you walk on there not knowing what the gimmick is for the ride, you won't know.
Mike, what did you think of the lap bar situation? Did you have enough leg room?
If you're a single rider, you go in there as a single rider, you're coming out as an engaged rider, because it's really, really and I think they wanted it to be snug so you wouldn't swing around. But honestly, I mean, I felt like I was not vertical on the turns. I thought that with the swing I'd be vertical, but I was horizontal on the side. I mean, it's an okay ride. On a scale of 1 to 10, I'd give it a 5. I really wasn't that impressed with it. Sure, the stuff inside, the audio animatronics and stuff, they're okay, but honestly, I don't know.
I kind of hate that it's in the middle of the ride. It's like you get going and then it's like, well,
let's go again.
I really think they put that there though to lengthen the ride, because without the lift hills and without the middle part of the ride, it is like 45 seconds long.
Yeah. Which is like maybe 10 seconds shorter than Everest. I don't know.
Oh, Everest is way longer than that, but Everest has a long pause in the middle of it too. But Everest is a much more wild ride.
It's just, I think that I see it as being a bridge between Goofy Barnstormer and maybe Big Thunder for kids, maybe.
It totally is.
Yeah. So we did that. We missed out the Peter Pan. We did Haunted Mansion. We did I forget what else. Then there was Big Thunder. We're there for the Not So Scary, and making notes about the Not So Scary, I didn't think there were that many jack-o'-lanterns on Main Street as I have seen in the past, so that was a little disappointing. One of the things that I noticed is that, I don't know if you've noticed this, Len, I don't know if you saw, have you seen Celebrate the Magic lately?
Yes.
Well, for those who haven't, I'm watching it and I'm saying to Michelle, you know, I wonder if there's a little bit of a Frozen.
Oh, shit. A little bit.
Holy cow. The whole and it was like, Let It Go. It was Let It Go, and everybody's singing it. And I'm thinking, oh, yeah, they're trying to milk this for all they can get. So that was part of it. I do like that show, though, because I think it's always changing. It's always evolving. And there are a few parts that are constantly going to be there, generic, if you will, or common denominators. But they're probably going to be adjustments as they go along. But I thought it was very good. As far as the party goes, I thought that the candy selections were very, very good. There was very much an assortment, a diversity of candy. A lot of chocolate stuff, a lot of non-chocolate stuff. It was very good. It did rain that night, but we did see the fireworks was fine. The rain had stopped for the fireworks, but the rain had come down enough so that the Headless Horseman was not making an appearance that night. So we did not see him. One of the funny things about the parade was that the end of the parade was different. Usually the It's Good to Be Bad is before the Goofy candy thing. The goofy candy float was first. It was before the Good to Be Bad float, and that ended the parade. So that was kind of weird. But I thought that the party was good. I think that the Villains Mix and Mingle could be a little bit of a longer show. I think everybody should try it at least once. Didn't seem as spooky as in the past. I didn't hear a lot of the sounds, and I didn't see a lot of the sights that I have seen in the past. So I'm a little concerned about that. It's almost throughout the whole weekend I was there, I kept on commenting to myself that there's less for more. One of the things that I noticed is that I was thirsty on Saturday or Friday. I forget which day it was. Went into the Starbucks on Main Street, and I wanted a big frosty glass of that. It was some kind of lime drink. So I said, I want the 32-ouncer. So I got it, and it didn't last long. And then I opened it up, and I realized they had given 75% of the cup was filled with ice. So, you know, that's pretty bad. So I wanted to go back and just – I wanted to complain. But I said, you know, I just won't go there. If I do go, I'll get something like a slush or whatever, but I'm not going to – or ask for no ice. It's just – I just noticed that. And we were at Geppetto House, and I have always thought that they were very good with their portions. But I noticed that the portions were very, very much reduced from the last time. And I've been around the parks frequently enough over the last 2 years to really pass judgment on this. And I've noticed that there's a lot less for the same. They may not have been raising prices in many cases, but the portions have been shrinking. So that was a little disappointed. I was a little disappointed in that. But one thing I noticed that when let's see what else I was going to say. Not that parade card. How's it? Epcot ran out of gas. Okay. We went to Downtown Disney on I forget which day was Monday, and I don't know if Len, I don't know if you've been down there. Well, the last time you were there,
it's all walls.
Buena Vista Drive now looks like a highway. It looks like a highway, and the garage that they have built down there has to be the largest structure ever in Walt Disney World. It's the largest structure. There's a lot of stuff going on. It'll be interesting. It looks like there are staggered openings. The Starbucks is open, by the way, in Downtown Disney. Yeah. So that was pretty interesting. Let's see. I want to say that I still think that Tables in Wonderland. We did not eat. Dedicated to you, Len. We did not eat at a sit-down restaurant, but you know, at the Port Orleans French Quarter, you know, you can use your Tables in Wonderland. It still continues to me to be the best deal of all the discounts of everything. Annual passes, whatever. I still think that Tables in Wonderland beats everything. It beats the dining plan, and I'll always be a supporter of that. As far as the race goes. The race was held on Saturday night, and there were 11,500 who signed up. I don't think that many finished. I think only about 9,300 finished. A couple of things. The race entertainment was almost next to nothing. Very disappointed. They had changed a few things. Last year when we ran out the main entrance, which is where you would go if you were coming from the southwest of the studios. There's a little body of water that last year had a flamethrower that was shooting flames and explode. And it was almost like the explosions and stuff. And they were shooting flames about 100 feet in the air. It was really something. This year, instead of that, there was a huge eyeball in the middle of it. That's all it was. Just someone blew up like a rubber eyeball and just put it in the lake. That was it. That was one thing that was a lot different than last year. Next to nothing as far as entertainment. Next to nothing. When we got to the stadium at World of Sports last year, there was, and I forget the name of the machine, it begins with a T, they had a machine in the middle of the field, and it looked like it was a big robot with an arm, and it was flashing some kind of electricity. And all around the field, where there would be positions, where players would be like left field, center field, right field, short, third, first. They were just empty uniforms, like someone had zapped them. This year, they had the uniforms out, but instead of that machine, all they had was this green laser floating around, you know, from the press box. That was it. They still had the dirt portion of the. Of the course or whatever, and it was just very, very disappointing. The other thing that I noticed is that there were very few people at the party other than runners. They were charging $75 for the after party at the studios. I don't even know it was open other than the Tower of Terror. So there was like next to nobody there other than the runners. So that was very, very, very interesting. I'm trying to think what else was going on. The Tower of Terror race is not on next year's schedule, and it could be because they are anticipating a lot of construction in the studios where that course would finish. So I think that may be a reason why it's not on the Run Disney calendar.
So the race was good this year. The Tower race.
Well, you know, the thing is, Matt, it's the same course and everything, and there are a few things that I don't want to get into some specific running issues, but I had some thoughts about how they conducted how bib pickup and everything. I really
did. You, let me give Let me ask you this. Did you feel the event, like the especially the party afterwards, was it oversold or were the crowds okay?
I don't believe it was oversold. I think that the crowds were fine. Like I said, I think most of the runners were there to eat, to drink a little bit, and that was it. I don't recall seeing – let me put it this way, Matt. There were very – I did not see a large portion of people walking around without a medal, okay? So that told me that most – that there were a lot of non-runners because once you get your medal, you keep it on and you got a medal and drinking and everything. But all in all, the biggest impression from the trip is that, number one, there seems to be a move afoot with some bean counters in Disney, and it seems like they're trying to cut corners wherever they can, noticing how they're saving money here and there. Little things like the ice, and that's always been a case, but like portions and just things that just don't settle well with me.
It's kind of amazing, actually.
What do you mean?
That they're controlling portion size.
Yeah, I mean, it just, I don't know. And usually I don't pay attention to that, but for some reason I did. I'm thinking, whoa. You know, I mean, I think that they did the right thing with the beer at Food and Wine. I think having small beer is a small, I think it's good because many times you just want to taste.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, and selling people, you know, multiple 22-ounce beers over the course of a day, no good comes of that, right? I get that. That's fine.
Yeah.
The ice thing is surprising.
Yeah, it's just really it's just kind of bothersome because I know how expensive it is for families to go and it was just bothersome. Let's see, there was a couple other things I wanted to mention. Let's see what else. What did I want to mention? Was it Downtown Disney? No, the bungalows at the Polynesian. I wanted to go to the Polynesian, but I had heard that there was all kinds of construction inside the Great Ceremonial House. I really didn't want to see it. But when I was taking the ferry from the TTC to the Magic Kingdom, I'm looking at those, I guess they're bungalows. I guess what they're calling them, bungalows. I could not figure out why the roofs were shaped the way they were. And I was thinking how that cuts down on the visibility from whatever longhouse that is behind there. Tokelau, I'm not sure if it's Tokelau or whatever. But, when we get Steve Seifert on the show, we'll be able to find out. But they just look out of place. And I know they're not finished yet, but they just look out of place.
Well, I went to Kona, so let me just tell you, you saved yourself some trouble because you're basically walking from the marina to the ceremonial house, and you're walking by tropical screen-printed floral Polynesian flowers.
Really?
And it seemed like forever. You went in through
screen-printed flowers?
Well, it's just that's there instead of a wall, you've got just this print over and over and over again, so you can't see. Okay. And so you had to walk all the way around the marina with that up. And then you had to go to where the food court is at the Poly, go in that way to get into the ceremonial house, then to go up to Kona. It was only big enough for three people to go past. So if you had people waiting to eat at Kona and people trying to pass to get to the monorail, it was a nightmare. It was a nightmare.
Well, Mike, yep. It sounds like it was an interesting trip. It's always, I mean, we always like to hear, you know, different, not just like I wrote this and this and this, but, you know, your observations and certainly some interesting ones there. And I'm sure we'll generate a lot of good feedback from that. So thank you for the report, Mike.
I think one more thing, Matt. I just think this, once again, it magnifies. And we've been doing this show for about 9 years and we're in our 10th year. And we always say to everyone, make sure you do your research. Make sure you know what you're going to get yourself into and prepare for everything. So this trip just reinforced that everyone needs to do some planning, you know, check with touring plans on, you know, which parks to go at what time, understand how the dining plan works or the Fast Pass Plus works. It's more important ever. I saw so many people confused, and it just tells me that things just are not as simply designed as Disney would think, because there are a lot of confused people. They don't know what to do, how to do their fast passes and things like that. So just a reminder to plan.
Absolutely. Well, and of course, speaking of planning, our sponsor is touringplans.com. And boy, if you're looking to plan your trip, touringplans.com is the way to plan that, what you're going to be doing in the parks, because, man, long lines, doesn't matter when you're going, October, July, February, doesn't matter really. These days, man, it's really crowded at Walt Disney World. Doesn't matter when you go. But the good news is touringplans.com, it's the way to get around and see everything without waiting for everything, because, you know, your kids are going to want to do all the favorite rides. Mike talked about Seven Dwarfs Mine Train and a lot of other big attractions at Walt Disney World. And you know what? Kids are expected to do that. Not only expect to do it, they want to do it over and over again. At touringplans.com, you can do that. In fact, you're going to get tools and information you need. So it'll tell you, hey, go ride that Seven Dwarfs now. There's a little bit less wait, and you'll get great information. So it's really, really helpful. And, of course, subscribers who subscribe with our special discount code will get 21% off. It's better than 20. From the touringplans.com subscription, it's Zuzu2014 is the discount code. Zuzu2014, Z-U-Z-U-2014, touringplans.com. For Lentest, I'm Mike Sopa, Mike Newell, and the fabulous Annette Owens. I'm Matt Hotchberg. We'll see you on the next show.
Stupid Judy, stupid energy.
This has been a production of Mouse World Radio.